This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
What would you say? The line must be 30 or 40 deep just to meet Sue Thomas right now, is what I'm guessing.
Always.
The crowds,
why do we say these
the
things?
Fans, because the fans demand to meet you.
No,
they come out here.
There is no one in line.
No. There will be, though. People will come out, and they want to meet you and Jane, and you have an opportunity to do that. It's Fish
and Fred.
Fest. Fred is here as
Fred
well.
Fred is the Hall of Famer.
Fred, he doesn't have his new rain jacket on,
see,
though.
That was what I was going to bring up first in Sue's news.
I should have worn that.
Because people want to see it, Fred. Yeah, it's been viewed on the X/Twitter multiple times.
Did you see it, Jane?
Whether or not.
I watched. I looked. I was like, look at the Hall of Famer.
Uh-huh. I'll wear it next Friday.
Okay, thank you.
Because if he wears it, what if he brings the rain?
Just to be clear, and this is where we're going to guide Dave Murray into, we're talking about rain in Japan, because Fred is going to Japan, Dave. But rain around here, we don't really want. But the warm temperatures, we love. How are you this afternoon? Happy Friday.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I would stand in line for days to meet Sue Thomas.
See?
Exactly.
Thank you, Dave Murray.
She's worth it.
One. I've got one. That's it.
But I don't. If it's just one, then I don't have to stand in line for days.
That's right. It's just you.
Well, take us into the weekend and tell me about next week, because I was looking at some temps for next week that were
looking
starting
good.
At eight.
It's looking well. I don't know if we'll get that warm if we hit. Well, let's just get into it, because there's one day where we could. We do have a cold front coming through tonight. So we were like 68 today. We're going to be colder on Saturday, but still okay. 53 degrees, a lot of sunshine. Then remember the 53, and basically let's just go 10 degrees warmer on Sunday. So 62, 63, 10 degrees warmer on Monday, 71, 72 degrees, 76 on Tuesday. That's a day where we at least make a run towards 80. 73 on Wednesday, 71 on Thursday, time change weekend coming up. So the sunset on Sunday evening is 7:02.
Oh, that
gets your attention.
That is wonderful. Really, it is.
Yes, yes.
I thought you were going to say by next Friday it's going to be 90. You know, that was the pattern there, Dave.
It is the pattern, but to get a
not crazy
four days of 70s plus is a little unusual. So I'm thinking probably some cooler air coming in Friday for the next.
I'm going to take
Friday.
It. Yeah, I'm going to take it. And here's the deal: we know this. March can sometimes be. We always expect March to be like this, but March sometimes is brutal.
March is a liar.
Yeah,
March is a liar.
Yes.
And there are snowstorms in March.
Yes, well,
that's
even
right.
Sometimes
in
April.
Our heaviest snow on record is in March. It's actually the end of March.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Oh, the end of March? That's double brutal.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. That was a big one.
Well, those are bad because it's always wet snow. All right, Dave Murray, well, thank you so much for the updated forecast. We're going to kind of hold you to those temperatures. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, guys.
That's awesome.
Thank
we got to get Dave Murray to come in for a fish fry. We are at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church this afternoon. Let me just kind of run down the schedule here so people know where we're going to be at. Cottleville next week on the 14th at the Knights of Columbus Hall. Assumption in South County, that's on Mattis Road on the 21st. On the 28th, Queen of All Saints in South County. St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood on the 4th of April. And then 411. Ott's Tavern in Millstadt, Illinois. Woo! Jane wants Andy Banker to be there. Andy, if you're listening,
there.
We got to
so,
get you out there.
I'm gonna tell
we
him.
Also have Brian Kilmeade coming to town in just 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow night at the Factory in Chesterfield. We've been talking about this for a couple of months. We're almost here. Tickets are still available. They are going fast. And if you want to add the VIP meet and greet, you can do that. That's an add-on to any ticket. So even if you have tickets, you can add it on by going to briankilmeade.com. This is a chance to spend a little time with Brian and the 97.1 FM Talk team ahead of the show. Of course, it's sponsored by Bob and Tammy Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group. It is Fish Fest out here. We're not really in Soulard, though. I think we were saying Soulard, but it's near Soulard.
Near.
Come see us, but let's do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Yeah, you know what? I'm the one who said this was McKinley Heights, as you people have been calling it, only because I saw the house over there. We are in McKinley Heights at this fish fry, if you know your city areas. Okay, Fred.
Apparently we did.
It's a suburb of Soulard, right?
I'm not sure.
A
suburb.
A collar neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right.
A collar neighborhood.
Fred wore the jacket last night. He was not convinced it was a large, even though I said so and Mark said so. He had to get permission from his wife, and the answer is?
It was a definite yes. That's
Woo!
A perfect fit. Don't even try on the extra
yeah,
large.
That's
oh,
the thing.
How about
see?
That?
That's
I'm
beautiful.
Taking the XL back to the Alpine shop. But yeah, Marie's like, don't even try it on. We were trying to tell you that, Fred, but
yeah,
you wanted to make sure you got the green light from
Yeah,
Marie.
You never know.
He doesn't listen to us, Mark.
Well, that's why that's why he's still married.
If I have to choose. Between my wife and my coworkers.
That's fair.
That's right.
That's
why he's still married.
Those are good instincts. I'm going to say
that. That's right. We can't argue that. All right. On this day in history, a little bit of music for this Friday. Because in 1975, David Bowie released his ninth album, Young Americans, featuring this song. And I could have played Young Americans, I suppose.
Yeah, but this is the one.
That's why I was confused. I was kind of expecting Young Americans.
That's how we throw you off.
That's
you
right.
did.
Mm-hmm. Keep him on his toes.
But it doesn't say fame until a really long time into it. And also on this day in history, just to completely do the opposite, it was 45 years ago, Jane, in 1980.
Yes.
When the movie Coal Miner's Daughter was released.
Oh, wow.
45 years ago, and we have a little bit from Loretta Lynn, just so you could remember Coal Miner's Daughter. It's about the opposite as fame as you can get.
Well, I was born to coal miner's daughter in a cabin.
Sissy Spacek?
Yes. That was correct.
She's Carrie. And Loretta Lynn.
That's right.
Ooh. I give her credit.
It's quite the dichotomy
it is.
There.
It is.
I met Loretta Lynn once, and she was super nice and just as you would think she would be. Do you know what
That's
I mean?
Nice. It, you know
100%
like
as
when,
you would think she would
when
be.
When they don't dispel your, you know, your best thoughts of them. That's
exactly.
Nice.
Well, it's National Cereal Day. Fred, you love the cereal.
I do.
Cereal.
Mark?
Oh, of course. But I use cereal a little untraditionally. Like, for example, last night I poured a bunch on some vanilla ice cream that had trying to make myself think that it's healthy because it was like granola and oats and it was chocolate flavored. It was delicious.
Yeah.
I love frosted mini wheats. I'll just eat them like snacks.
Oh, that's good
stuff. Well, one of my favorite Jerry Seinfeld bits is about cereal. So we're going to hear that one. It's kind of funny.
Okay, parents for some reason had no idea or no interest that there's no food in any of this. And it was great until the Cookie Crisp people came along and blew the lid off of the whole racket.
Cookie Crisp, I like
it. So somebody pushes a good thing just a little too far. Cookie Crisp. If you don't know what this is a cereal. It's not like cookies. It is cookies. This is your breakfast. A bowl of chocolate chip cookies. This cereal should have been called the hell with everything. Ice cream for lunch, cake for dinner, bacon and cigarettes in between. That's the Cookie Crisp total health plan.
Hilarious.
Happy National Cereal Day. All right, we talked about it a little bit on the roundtable. Most Americans will spring forward into daylight saving time on Sunday morning at 2 a.m. Remember, though, when you had to remember before you went to bed, now your
everything
phone
changes,
does it. And
right.
It's like totally
I think
automatic.
We have one clock in the house, I think. I think the oven.
The oven in the microwave.
Yeah.
Right.
Mine does it automatically now.
What?
Oh, yes.
Fancy. You know, I interviewed.
The car is what you got to do.
I interviewed a sleep medicine doctor for my health show. And we were talking about daylight saving time and the move to try and make, you know, he says, whatever, just choose one.
Go with it.
Choose one. But sleep experts say standard time is best for your body.
Oh, where we are right now.
In other words,
not
what it was
saving.
Before we tweaked it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And the week after we changed the clocks is full of all increased health risks.
Yes, people
because it
heart
takes
attacks.
People like a week or 2 weeks.
See?
To get up to
you
get
said
your
I
body
was crazy, but it's like 2 weeks for
why
me.
Why would it take you 2 weeks? Well,
it just
you know what?
Messes it up.
Maybe I'm awake because I get up so early; it's dark regardless. So maybe I'm unaffected
yeah,
by that.
Maybe that's it.
You know what I mean?
There's an increase in auto accidents,
heart attacks,
workplace injuries, injuries in the home, heart attacks.
Good heavens.
Migraine headaches.
I'm already hurt.
Diverticula, all sorts of things.
Now you're scaring the heck out of us, Fred.
Don't do it. Good.
I know. No, like,
it's
gosh.
Okay. You're going
to
be fine.
One of my favorite stories related to the time change goes back to when I was doing morning radio in Columbia, Missouri. This would have been circa 88, something like that, 88, 89, getting up in the morning. And I was young back. I was in my lower 20s, and I wasn't even 25 years old, and I was doing a fair amount of drinking back then.
Well, yeah,
but, and I would take a nap sometimes, and I remember waking up one day, and I saw the clock. It was like 4:45. I'm like, oh, I had to be at work. I was supposed to be at work at 4:30 or wherever it was. I started driving. I get in the car. I start driving. I'm like, man, there's a few more people on the road than I'm used to. It was 4:30 at night.
Yeah.
It was 4:45 at night.
Mark,
and
I have been so sleep deprived that I looked at the clock and thought I was late for KZK back in the 1990s. I got all the way to that billboard with that used to, right there at Brentwood, used to have a big clock on it.
Yeah.
And it said the actual time, and it was, you know, midnight.
Yeah. I don't
so
feel
I had
so
to
bad.
Turn around right. and drive back like
Thank
an
you.
Idiot.
Thank you for
no
helping.
Judging.
Yes.
No judging. No judging.
Mm-mm. There is a growing movement online to get Pierce Brosnan back as James Bond, even though he's 71.
I mean,
I like it.
I still am holding out for Idris Elba.
Oh,
but
Yeah.
Most women are. However, it seems he's kind of fallen out. I mean, Pierce Brosnan would be fine.
He's fine. Pierce was asked if he'd like to do it, and he said yes and no. He said, of course, how could I not be interested? But it's a delicate situation. Sorry, crowd. I think it's best to let sleeping dogs lie, really. I think so. It's rather romantic and of an idea, but I think everything changes. I think it's best to left to another man, really.
Oh.
So if it's Idris, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I haven't heard him discussed lately. That makes me sad.
I haven't. You're right.
I know. Maybe we need to restart the movement.
Hmm. We have 10 actors who turned down starring in billion-dollar movies. And I'm going to give you the top five. Number five was Benicio del Toro. Was supposed to be Darth Maul in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. He said no. Don't know why. Big bucks. Flush.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe he saw the script and realized the movie was going to be so bad. Maybe that was not the worst deal.
It makes you feel better when you cash the check.
Well, that's true. Rooney Mara turned down Rogue One. A lot of this is Star Wars that people... no, thank you.
I love Rogue One.
Well, once you're sort of... You know, in the Star Wars, like, do you ever really get out?
I think that's probably what they thought. Number three, though, is Matt Damon, who was offered Jake Sully in Avatar and said no. Billions. Oh. That would have been billions.
Yeah, but you got to be blue, wasn't he? That's sort of changes.
It's not cool.
It changes your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin was going to be Owen Grady in Jurassic World. He said no. Big money.
Oh,
that
would have
been interesting.
I could see him.
Thank you.
In
that's
that
the
role.
First one that I thought.
Doesn't he try to be like, I don't know, a little more serious? I don't know. That doesn't fit for me.
Well, it didn't have to fit, I guess, in the
Josh agreed with me.
And Robert Downey Jr., they offered him to be Tony Stark again in Deadpool and Wolverine. And for some reason, he said no. So I'm not sure why, but that would have been big bucks. Maybe he
might
has
be
enough.
Tired. Yeah, he might be tired. And did Gwyneth Paltrow, did she bail out of the
Iron Man movies. I think.
Oh, let me see. Well, she's not on here.
But I thought that she said the last time she's like, nah, I'm sort of done.
I could see that. Number 10, by the way, was Michael Douglas, who turned down, quote, an unspecified role in Frozen, possibly Olaf.
Okay.
Turn that down.
No,
nobody knows it's you.
No one could see you, Michael. Your kids, your grandchildren,
there's
in his
no
case.
There's no way Michael Douglas could have been Olaf, though.
Why not? Right?
Why? You're just not used to thinking about it, I think.
Yeah, they're called actors.
Would have been a different tick, for sure.
Well,
I go with Josh Gad.
Okay,
Josh
well, that's
Gad
fair.
Was Olaf. That's why I have a dog named Olaf, and it's very embarrassing because I named him Olaf before my daughter came along. It was my choice.
Okay.
You know what? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
Well, thanks,
wow.
thanks for sharing.
There's a missing cat named Sunny Lou. This is a nice story, even though it's bad to be at the beginning. Who showed up after she spent 3 weeks stuck in a sofa. Her family moves across country, can't find the cat. Looking everywhere. Finally, they hear something. On the day the movers show up, they're like, one of the daughters, did what? Yep, she was in the couch, rolled up in the couch. She was dehydrated. She was underfed, but she was fine. And she made it, and her name was Sunny Lou. 3 weeks stuck at a sofa driving cross country. Yep.
How could...
3 weeks?
Like, how could it not have... dehydrated
there's
to
stuff
death
in the sofa. I don't know whether she
stuff
got
in
out
the
in the truck.
You mean the M&M's?
The M&M's.
The M&M's and
I mean
the potato
water
chips.
Yeah. I just mean the water.
I don't know.
That's
what they said.
Wow.
And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. All right. Jodie Foster speaks such perfect French that she does her own dubbing for the French version of her movies.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
She's really smart.
She probably insists upon it.
She probably does. Yeah, she wants to be herself. Oh, I'm going to throw in another one. The Louvre was built in Paris in 1190 as a fortress in case the Vikings ever raided. And it didn't become a museum until 1793. A little bit of French facts
that's
for you today.
Parlez-vous.
Yeah.
When you hear stuff like that, Sue, and you know because, and Fred, you'll have even more experience with this when you go to Japan, but it just puts our country into such different perspective
because
we just had 250 years. I mean,
like
obviously
young,
a little bit more than
babies,
that, but unbelievable. All right, that's the Sue's News live at Fish Fest out here at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. We're going to take a break. We're coming back with Paul Hall with some entertainment, television, movie, streaming ideas. Kusumano a little later in the hour.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we are live at Fish Fest. We've narrowed down the location, too. We've been saying this incorrect, perhaps. I've been saying, like, near Soulard, which is that it's not inaccurate, but it's McKinley Heights, Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. By the way, it's so easy because if you're coming from 44, you exit at Jefferson, you take a right, you take your first left, and boom, you're here.
Yeah,
so
it's easy to get to.
Come see us. The crowd is starting to build. The bar has been open for a little while. They're going to start serving the fish here in about an hour. We'd love to see you come by and say hi. Paul Hall is here on entertainment. We're going to start with this movie here this afternoon called Devil in the Family.
I just had a 12-year-old boy show up here at my front door. He's got duct taped around each ankle. He's obviously covered in wounds.
It's Frankie, how do you plead to count one, child abuse?
Guilty. What Ruby has done, it just crossed a line of abusive to just psychotic.
Well, we love our true crime, don't we? That sounds like a real uplifting movie or TV show. Paul Hall is here. Is this a TV series?
Yeah, this is a three episode docuseries over on Hulu. It's tracking as one of their top television series at the moment. And I knew nothing about this, and it's funny, my wife and daughter both did. It's the story of the Ruby Frankie and her family, who was one of those mommy vloggers. You know, you go to YouTube and they'll tell you all about their life and everything's happy-go-lucky. And until one day, one of their kids is kind of comes out on the YouTube video and says, well, I've been locked out of my bed. I haven't had a bed for 6 months. And that's because he was being punished.
Oh, my.
6 months?
That is...
6 months. And that was... And my daughter told me all about it as we were going through, and I'm, like, getting fascinated by the tale as it unfolds. And it's a tale of people who didn't know what was going on in this household, including the husband for most of it. The kids that came out kind of normal, and in a good way, this keeps the faces of the two youngest children here blurred the whole time. So throughout this whole docuseries, so many of these exploit those younger kids and exploit the people that are in it. The good news is the older kids talk to the film crews. The younger kids are blurred the entire time, so you don't, you know, hopefully you don't traumatize people more than they are. It's a fascinating story. It's a heartbreaking story, and you just can't believe some of the things that go on over the course of three episodes. It's over on Hulu, and I'll tell you what, you'll never look at another YouTube video with kind of a family vlogger type of thing the same way again after watching this one.
So when Ruby Frankie's 12-year-old son escapes from the counselor's name is Jody Hillenbrand, that's in Utah, in August of 2023, crawls out the window, rings the neighbor's doorbell, and has such bad wounds on his hands and feet that there's blood all over the duct tape, and that's when he asks the neighbors to take him to police. How is it that the, I guess we got to watch, but how is it that the husband
thank
didn't
you.
Know
that's
something?
What I was wondering.
Right.
Wait, the husband was out of the situation for about a year leading up to that point. Now, why he didn't go back and check on the kids and whatnot, I don't know, and I don't understand. He feels like, as you watch the course of this unfold in front of you, a man that was either manipulated so much by Ruby Frankie and the counselor that's involved, and some of the things in here are horrific, the way they just kind of demean him as a man in the family. And it's that, and it's his ever-loving, undying love for his wife that he kind of, even at the end, you sit there and you scratch your head going, aren't your kids more important at this point?
But part of this is also about this Jody Hillenbrand person, right? Because it's called Devil in the Family because she tried to convince them that they're influenced by Satan, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's moments in here that, as you find a panic room in Jody's house where they're living, you see what they tried to, their claim was to get the devil out of these kids. And the oldest boy that got away, part of what was, he was the devil because he was dating and in their household. And it's just some weird, twisted, and very warped views. They came from a Mormon background, but this isn't about Mormon religion. This is about some people who just didn't get it and got caught under the spell of a woman who was able to twist their mind.
Wow. Well, Paul, we are live, as you probably know, at our Fish Fry Friday event here in McKinley Heights, and I'm going to rush you through the rest of it just because we want to get David on, who runs the show here, before Frank Cusimano. So any other recommendations this weekend?
Yeah, and I'm hungry, so get David in there. I tell you what, Paradise, the season finale, came down this week. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Is it the end of Paradise? You'll have to see the episode, but they definitely give you an idea where we're going next. And if you don't have Hulu to see Paradise, good news, we may be seeing this on ABC about a month or so down the road. So for folks who don't have Hulu, you'll get a chance to see this series as well. That's out there now. There's a new Charles Manson thing that's absolutely horrifying over on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm into the Manson stuff.
Me too.
So what's that about?
It's about the book Chaos that I can't remember. Tim, somebody, I took off the top of my head. He wrote of a different theory of what the Manson murders were all about. As far as Manson really under mind control from government projects and the like. And Errol Morris is the guy who does the documentary. Now, Mark, you know that name for sure from the documentary.
Well, yeah, He's a Wisconsin documentarian. He's done a lot of films over the years, including The Thin Blue Line. That's very interesting. And then one thing that I wanted to point out, we did this at the end of the roundtable as well, but Gene Hackman died a week after his wife. They came out with the autopsy report this afternoon. He died from heart disease at his home in New Mexico, most likely a week after his wife, Betsy Arakawa, died from the effects of hantavirus. That's a disease that's linked to rodents that can cause respiratory failure. So they have indicated that they both died of natural causes. There's a lot of speculation, Paul, as you know, that something else may have gone on here. The other thing about Mr. Hackman is he had Alzheimer's disease. That was, you know, something that certainly played a role in his death as well. But no foul play, and that's the result from the medical examiner in New Mexico and the police today as well. Tell folks where they can find your reviews.
Okay, it's simple. CommonGuy.com. And if you want to go back to an old Gene Hackman movie, go see No Way Out. Search it out online.
Great movie.
Kevin Costner. It is one of the greatest mystery films from the late 80s that I actually I recommend to everybody, and nobody walks back and says it's terrible.
Oh, it's so good.
You know what? That is a great recommendation.
It is
Paul
a great movie.
And it's not a movie that I've thought about. And what was her name in that? Sean Young.
Remember
she was great in it.
Yeah, she was.
Will Patton's in that.
That's
do you know, Mr.
Holt? Really came out.
Where does that stream? Do you know?
I don't off the top of my head, but I'll shoot you a text within the next 5 minutes and you can relay it to everybody.
I think I got it. I think it's on MGM Plus, which I don't have. But you can buy it for $2.99
and Pluto
on Amazon. That's awesome. All right, Paul, we will talk to you next Friday afternoon. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, we're going to wrap up. We got Cusimano coming up here before the end of the hour, but we're going to visit with Dave, who runs the show here at the Serbian Orthodox Church. The Fish Fry is underway. It's Fish Fest. Come see us.
Woo!
Yeah, and we are live for Fish Fry Fridays. We are in McKinley Heights at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church, and we love these so much. We've done it. This is the third year.
So fun.
But, Sue, you would admit Jane's hanging out as well, and we got a bunch of folks that are going to join us after the top of the hour. One of the things that's most humbling and impressive is the folks that put these things together work really hard. They're very proud. There's uniqueness to a lot of the fish fries. Dave Lekich is here. You're in charge of Holy Trinity. How are you, Dave?
Doing great. Thanks for coming, folks.
Are you ready for the first one here today?
Yeah, we've been excited. We've been the last couple weeks, right, building the last details, the momentum. Everybody's geared up for it.
That's a great night.
Do you change the menu from year to year, or is this pretty bit what you got here?
It's an evolution, but it's basically the same menu. Like this year, we have fried shrimp that we never had, but we had fried poor boys. So we decided to add that on.
Okay.
But the sides are basically the same sides we use every year, but they're all homemade, fresh, nothing out of a can, that kind of stuff.
So what's the process like? If we went behind the scenes right now, if we went backstage at the fish fry, what would we see?
There's about five or six guys out there, guys and girls, that are breading fish and frying it and getting the dressings ready and all that stuff. The kitchen's ready to roll, you know, with that. Out here, we got 20, 25 volunteers as far as serving food, cleaning tables, greeting
people. But it really is. This is something I like to highlight. It's really a team that puts these things. And there's so much. Here's what I've felt. A lot of energy from folks. They love to do this. They really look forward to this every year. And you can feel it when you're in the room like this.
Yeah, we're a small parish, and we've got, you know, 30, 40 people every week showing up. That's a little, you know, dedication.
That's awesome.
And the community's been so great. We started doing 30 years ago our Serb Fest, which is Serbian food, the first weekend of August. And the response was great, and people kept saying, you got to do more stuff. Well, it's always about, you know, volunteers.
Right. Yeah.
So we finally got together about 8 years ago and started doing fish fries.
Amazing.
And had a little bump in the road with COVID, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, last year we were serving 700 people in 2.5 hours.
That's amazing.
And it's all home-cooked food, and we have Serbian beer at the bar that's import, hard to get anyplace else.
Nice.
And like I said, the food's all freshly made, so people enjoy that. And they're willing to pay the you know, things aren't cheap anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
Cheap, right?
They come out.
Homemade food, I'll pay.
And that's it.
Look at that.
A great meal.
They're putting plates in front of us, you should know.
Yeah, you can't just say, to the audience. The audience has to know what we're doing.
Yeah, they're putting food in front of us, and that's always a nice thing.
Yeah, and we do. We started a couple years ago. We started doing a spicy catfish instead of just regular.
I like it.
And it's not crazy hot, but it's got a good little
kick.
I bet people love that.
Oh, probably about half the people order. It's great.
I was going to say, what is your biggest, most popular item?
Well, I would say the spicy catfish. The poor boy is a big hit.
Because I saw that on the menu, and
I'm thinking poor boy.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, and other than that, I mean, really, the shrimp, the fried shrimp itself was big popular last year when we started it. tilapia is you know, a filler, not to be
yeah,
honest.
Right. Sure. But it's an option.
But there's seven different options. There's seven different entrees.
Wow.
There's always four different sides. Two of them rotate every week. So it's the coleslaw French fries, and then two, like today, is Serbian potato salad and fresh
So you have to come more than once in order to experience all the sides.
And there's nine desserts. So you can come every week and never have the same meal.
Okay, explain some of the desserts to me.
Okay.
Because I am the dessert person.
Well, we've got some homemade stuff that we made was the apple pita. And it's stretched dough like the old time.
They roll
the dough out and make
that.
We have a baklava that we make by hand, fresh here.
Yes.
We have,
I need all of them.
We have cake. We have cheesecake with strawberry sauce, cookies.
Everything's low-cal and fat-free, too.
Right.
None of it.
It's all,
But if you're giving up everything else for Lent, you should keep some of those vices.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And we have for the people that are trying to be healthy, we do have a baked cod.
Okay.
With the Creole sauce on it. So that's not the fried item. And we have peel your own shrimp. So that's not really a fried item.
I love that. I love peel shrimp.
What's the difference in the, because that potato salad looks delicious. What's the Serbian spin on the potato salad? Is there a way to describe that?
Well, I mean, it's potatoes, white onions, green onions, vinegar mixed with oil, pepper.
Looks delicious.
Salt.
It's vinegar instead of mayo. It looks delicious.
That German does that. It's very similar to the German potato salad.
And it's great for summertime because it can sit out a little bit longer.
You guys, the hours are like you start serving fish here at 5, is that right?
Yes, 5 to 7:30 we serve food.
Nice.
If you want to stick around afterwards as we clean up and get organized, we have a full bar, so people sometimes hang out till we close, and everybody just sort of talks and chills out. And
yeah, we're not leaving. So, we're going to be
here till
early tomorrow morning.
As long
as
the desserts last.
We like to make it so that people can make it a night out and not be rushed home or find something else to do. They can come hang out with their families and friends and hang out.
Okay, Dave, I got to point one thing out, and I love it. And I'm not even the biggest Grateful Dead fan, but I walk in here today. Dave's got a Deadhead hat on. My wife's a big Deadhead. She used to go out with Jerry in the game. And you got the Grateful Dead concerts playing on the video screen. Is that like a little tradition here at Fish Fest?
Well, yeah, I always start with the Grateful Dead for week one, but we have the big screen, and we show YouTube concerts.
And every week,
you know, it's somebody different. Bruce Springsteen, I know you. Tom Petty. And, we go just have something so people can listen to some live music.
I love it. It was a really great idea.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
That I have not seen, the Grateful Dead concert at any of the fish fries in St. Louis, so I love it.
And I do get a lot of people that mention that.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Dave, thank you so much, really, for hosting us and for having us out here and enjoying the rest of Lent and the fish fries, and we're happy to be here.
We really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, now the challenge is for the rest of the crew here, like Fred and Jane and Sue, to not dig into the food while we still have some conversations that are going to take place. We almost killed Dave with the headphones, too.
Yes, we just tripped over the
headphones. He's going to sue Odyssey. Now we got that problem. Hey, we've had Donna Behringer came by to say hi. She might join us after the top of the hour. She just won for the St. Louis Comptrollers. We invited Kara Spencer to come by. We don't know if that's going to happen. Our friend Alex Rich is here. He might even visit with us for a little while. Fred, we got something else. There's someone else that I'm not remembering, right? George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet is going to swing by. Right now, Ethan, do we have Cusimano on the line?
Yes, we do.
Hello, Frank. How are we doing? We are live at Fish Fest in McKinley Heights this afternoon. We wish you were here, but what's going on in the sports world?
We got a lot going on. We got a big basketball game, as you know, tomorrow in Columbia with Mizzou trying to stop the bleeding during this little losing streak that they have going. Kentucky is coming to town, and it's really a matchup that will determine seeds in the SEC tournament 5 through 8. But it's going to be senior day. The atmosphere will be insane, even though it's going to be at 11 a.m. I think Mizzou's going to come out and play a good game and beat the Wildcats.
Yep.
Yeah, look, I was saying a couple of weeks ago, and I did think that there was an opportunity to perhaps run the table, and if you run the table, maybe you get to a 3 seed, maybe even higher. That did not happen, and this has been some sloppy games. You know, if I'm being honest, for a couple of weeks ago when they first took on Oklahoma before they went on the road, that was a sloppy game. They may have beaten by 18 or whatever, but it was ugly. So I don't know what's going on right now. Teams have this, but here's what I do know, Frank. You don't want to slide into either the SEC tournament or certainly the NCAA tournament with a bunch of losses, because teams like that usually get picked off in the early rounds.
You're right, and I think Oklahoma showed the way to beat Missouri. Their first 20 points of the game were in the paint. They just took it right at Mizzou. So Mizzou's going to have to get a little tougher and a little stronger. Another big story today is the trade deadline in the NHL, and many people were really concerned and really wondering if the Blues were going to be buyers or sellers. In fact, Braden Schenn's name has been out there quite a bit with Toronto and rejoining the Chiefs there. But in the end, Doug Armstrong says, look, our team is playing extremely well. We've lost one game in regulation over the last eight, so we're going to not make a move, and we're going to try to make the playoffs. And I think it was the wise thing to do, because if you were to become sellers when you're ever so close to making the playoffs, what does that say to your fan base? And more importantly, what does that say to your locker room?
We've given up on the season.
Well, and I think it was. I think they made the right decision there. It'll be interesting to see how this all works out. On the baseball front, is there anything we can say on the base? Here's what I read this morning in our local paper. You ready? Through their first nine spring games, the Cardinals had 50 hits and ranked 30th with a 184 average. I'm not an expert on the numbers, but that does not sound very promising here. I get that it's spring training, but what do you think there, Frank?
Well, there's a lot of guys that are just not hitting at all. I mean, there's Mason Wynn was hitting 048 to begin the day. Brendan Donovan had not hit yet. Lars Nootbaar had not hit yet. I mean, the only really encouraging hitter we've had right now is Victor Scott II. So here's the thing is, you can say, well, it's spring training, it doesn't matter. But if you also go back to last season where they didn't hit, you know, you start to worry. It's still not too late, but they got to get some guys going. There's no doubt about it.
I want you to tell me what's coming up on Sunday night. But one thing that I did notice here in the going back to the NHL, Marchand got traded to the Panthers today from Boston. That's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, they had to do something like that with the Tkachuk injury. So that's and you know the Stars loaded up too. There were some teams that you know on the cusp of winning a cup that did add. I do want to say one thing is the Missouri Valley Conference tournament is going on. I did the game on radio today with Drake and SIU Carbondale. And this Drake team, they're the winningest team in the United States of America. They have 28 wins. And it's a crazy story, Mark, in the fact that their starting lineup for the guys came from Northwest Missouri State and their coach.
Wow.
So these four players were not That's good cool. enough wow. to be Division I players out of high school. And then they go to a Division I school, and they've won 28 wins. They've won 28 games. And they've beaten teams, three teams in Power 5 conferences. So if you get a chance, you ought to come and watch them. They're really insane.
Look, my experience is this Missouri Valley Conference Tournament is always really, really exciting. And there's great, great basketball no matter how good these teams are. It seems to be a lot of fun. What's coming up on Sunday night, just quickly?
We are going to visit with maybe the best play-by-play broadcaster in the world. Kevin Harlan is going to be our special guest. We're real excited about that.
Awesome. Cusimano, have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday afternoon.
Bye, Frank.
Okay, guys, take care. Bye-bye.
We're going to wrap things up for this hour. We are at Fish Fest out here. It's a lot of fun in McKinley Heights. We'd love to see you. The crowd is absolutely building at this point because we were here for the roundtable and the doors were open and they opened the bars. But the food's going to be coming out here very, very quickly. In fact, our table, our 97.1 FM talk table is relatively spoiled because we're getting some delivered right now. Alex Rich, our friend from Y98, is going to hang out with us. Donna Behringer, who won the comptroller's race this year. We got George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet. I will have an audio cut of the day that Ethan back in the studio has put together for me. So we got all of that and more coming up here in the next hour on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll wrap for this hour. We're coming back live at Fish Fest. Come see us. We're here till 6 o'clock.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.